Hey listeners, unfortunately there will not be a new episode of Murder Mystery this week. I don't know if you can tell by the sultry sound of my voice, but I have a minor case of tonsillitis. And luckily, Andrew has very graciously given me this week off to prevent further exacerbation. We did not, however, want to give you listeners a week off, so we decided that we would release one of our quote-unquote lost episodes from before our reformat. This episode was recorded in December of 2019, so very timely. And we had a special guest named Yvonne, and it was one of our favorite episodes to record, so we're very excited to release our Puerto Rico episode.
And welcome to Murder Mystery. We are Andrew.
And I'm Katie. And today we are joined by a special guest named Yvonne.
Yay!
Hello!
And Andrew, why is Yvonne with us today?
Yvonne is with us because he is from the location we are talking about today. And that location being Puerto Rico.
Yay!
So we have a resident Puerto Rican in the house today.
I'm glad to be here.
So basically, if you're an overachiever or an underachiever, or you're just a rebel, and this is your first episode you're hearing, Katie talks about murder mysteries, and I talk about mythologies and urban myths from all around the world.
We virtually tour
the world.
Yeah.
And we talk about countries.
Get a little culture, get a little murder.
Get cultured, then murdered. Cool. And definitely suggest going back to episode one, please.
Yes, definitely. Well, how was your week?
Yeah, well, my week has been pretty anticlimactic. I've been in a training class for another skill at work. We covered all the material 2 days ago, so we've been working everything that we just learned about the last couple days.
Nice.
That was it. Oh, and Pokemon game came out, Sword and Shield.
Oh, fun. Have you guys been playing it?
I started playing it last night because that's when we got it. And Yvonne has today off, so I'm sure he'll go into what he did today.
Well, what'd you do?
Well, this week has been kind of rough. I work in retail, so we're getting closer to the holidays. And, you know, as closer as you get to the holidays, the worse it gets.
Oh, definitely.
So it's been a
stressful
week.
How many times
week,
a day
but...
do you have to listen to Mariah Carey?
Oh, my God. We haven't gotten into the actual holiday songs yet.
Oh, good.
So we're still in like a regular schedule at work, so
they'll start by Friday.
Yeah, it'll start soon enough and we'll get sick of it really soon.
Oh, I'm already sick of it.
Can you file for workers' comp for like ear bleeding?
And besides that, I've just been playing Pokemon since yesterday. That's what I've been doing all day today.
We went to the early release and it was pretty great, except for the fact that when we were waiting in line the first time, there was this group behind us that couldn't stay more than a centimeter away from us. Every time we moved just a little bit, they moved even closer.
Oh, and I do that in traffic.
And then as soon as they broke our groups apart, they were in the first group, so they were at the front of the line, and we were in the second group, whatever. They immediately got up to the counter and started leaning on it. And I, being the person that I am, was like, of course they couldn't wait to lean on the counter. Just like that. Because that's who I am.
An ass.
I mean, you did say it pretty loud.
A Clint.
Intentionally so. A Clint.
I had kind of an uneventful week, work, family getting sick, because that's what happens this time of year. But in particular, I had a funny moment at work today because I've been staring at my phone for like weeks knowing that I have voicemails. And I was like, I need to check those. So I finally went on there and I didn't know what the hell my PIN was. I had never checked my voicemail like one time since I started. And it's okay. Nobody does. Like, it's fine.
Everybody does it. I'm not just like a terrible worker. I could not guess my PIN, and I put in like every possible number that it would be, because you know you have your go-to numbers. And then I just like sat there. I was like, think, Katie, think, like, what would you do? And then I just like, I typed in penis on the keypad, and it was like 3 new messages. And I was like, really? So I figured out that my 12-year-old self set my work voicemail password as penis.
Oh my gosh, that's the best.
Yeah, so that was my day. Gosh. That's how my week ended.
If I had a voicemail, that'd be my PIN too.
That's for sure. That's the truth. So, did we want to talk about any... Are we doing the superstitions first?
No, we're going to do it between the segments.
Okay, good. Okay.
I'm ready whenever.
All right.
He's ready.
So, Andrew, what do you have prepared from our little excursion to Puerto Rico today?
Well, I fully intend on speaking about the Taíno. A brief little disclaimer, there is a mention of another country in this mythology. It's all part of the same Caribbean islands, so I don't think they were separate countries at that time.
Okay. Geography.
Yes, geographer. So Puerto Rico has some interesting mythologies. One that I am going to talk about, again, centers around the Taíno. For those who don't know, the Taíno are to Puerto Rico as Native Americans are to the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They inhabited the island before Spaniard occupation. The Spaniard occupation is why they speak Spanish, primarily.
Makes sense.
They also had their own mythology. Now, I didn't have like an easy time finding things. I did have to go through quite a bit to land on what I was able to find. There's not a whole lot that's known these days that's like public knowledge. So what I do go over may seem a little disjointed. I apologize in advance.
Maybe Yvonne can fill in the blanks.
Yes.
Hopefully. I can definitely help with, like, name pronunciations.
Yeah.
I mean, we did get Taíno history in, like, school. That was, like, a long, long, long time ago.
Man, to be in school in Puerto Rico and learn about the Taíno, what a day to be alive. So, getting into it, it is suggested that a god named Yaya, or is that Jaja?
Jaja or Jokahu.
Jokahu. Bagua Maricotti? Did I say that right? No, I didn't.
He's looking at me. Maricotti. Why did I say that in like a different...
I don't know.
Different accent, I don't know.
Go ahead and tell the listeners out there how you pronounce that correctly.
Let's see. If I were to say it in Puerto Rican accent.
Yeah, please.
Jokahu, Bagua, y Maricotti.
Thank you. That person, that god, what Yvonne said, started all of existence as the life-giving spirit. Mm. He had a son, Yvonne. I'm just going to have him say my words.
That one would be...
That's a Y.
Jajael.
That tried to be like, I don't like you, Dad. Time to die.
Oh.
So, Jaja came back with, nah, son, it's time for you to leave. And Jaja gave his son the boot. After some time, decided to forgive his son so that he could return. But it was really only to die by Jaja's hands.
Oh my God.
So after his son was killed by him, he placed the bones of the son inside a gourd and basically, boom, you got fish.
Hold on, what now?
Right.
So it was like a fishes to loaves kind of, or what is that? What is that story? I never read the Bible. But anyway,
water to wine?
Jesus made a bunch of fish multiply and like bread multiply.
Yes, that is correct. It was fish and bread.
And bread.
Cool.
Oh my God. I was in Catholic school all my life, so I know a lot of the Bible.
Well... That's why we have you here as a correspondent today.
Yes. This is what I could find, and you know more. An unknown amount of time goes by, and quadruplets of Itiba Kahubaba.
Oh, that's a very Taíno name. Yeah, you did pronounce it pretty well.
Yes! Nice. Puerto Rican approved. She's also known as the Earth Mother. She actually died while giving birth, so that's the only mention I was able to find.
Oh.
But she gave birth to these quadruplets, and I'm assuming other siblings of them. Don't know their names. But these quadruplets decided that they wanted some sushi, which was...
God, I'm so hungry.
Denunan, Karakarakol's idea, and took the gourd. So while they were eating the fish from the gourd, it was dropped, and that's how the oceans were created.
Wow. Sushi's so fresh, it was before the ocean was even invented.
Yes.
Living her best life there. I love sushi. Oh my God. Andrew, do you remember that that sushi place in Anchorage with the conveyor belt that you would just grab the sushi?
I didn't go to that one.
I thought I went there with you. No, that was your sister.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's cool. We had plenty of memories at Sushi and Sushi.
That's true. And Sea Galley, which is now closed.
Yeah.
Which is where
bummer.
John proposed to me, which is a major bummer. I can never go back there.
Unless they, like, rebuild it somewhere.
Hopefully. Well, it's not. Then it's not the one I was proposed to at.
It's still Sea Galley.
Oh, God. And they had the best coconut shrimp. Anyways.
Oh, they did. Oh, you know what? The that salmon, the silver salmon or the whatever salmon restaurant we went to when you visited.
The slippery salmon.
The slippery salmon. That's where I first had coconut shrimp that I liked.
Yes, it was phenomenal. And yes. That's when I decided king crab legs are not worth the extra, like, $15. Just get snow crab.
Oh,
get
my
more
God,
bang
so
for your
expensive.
Buck.
Snow crab?
Yeah. No, the other one.
King, king crab?
King yeah. crab, yeah.
But when made correct, when prepared and cooked correctly, it's they're delicious.
Yeah, it's amazing. It. But, like, totally, just get snow crab.
Yeah. Just it's don't like, get king crab at Red Lobster.
It's like if you want to be a little bit bougie.
Yeah, exactly.
You just grab the king crab instead of the snow crab.
Yeah.
Because I deserve it. I've been good.
I have been good to me.
So, now that we went on a big tangent about seafood.
I mean, I did mention sushi, so it's kind of forgivable.
It's people understand.
So, there is also mention of the god of fire.
Bayamanaco. It sounds a lot like a town of Puerto Rico that is called Bayamon, because a lot of our towns actually come from Taino names.
Oh.
Like Guayama, Guaynabo, Bayamon.
That
so,
is
yeah,
fascinating.
A little information.
See?
There.
That is.
Fun
Hello,
fact.
Fun facts. Bayamanaco shot Deminan in the back. And this is actually my favorite part that I read, because as the wound in Deminan's back grew, it grew because the quadruplets decided to open it up more. A freaking turtle came out.
Oh, you love turtles.
I do.
I bet you squeed when you read this.
I got really excited. I did. And you know what? I also squeed last night as I was playing Pokemon because I was in the starting area, still am, because work. But I was kind of walking through this grassy patch and I saw a little, like, something poking out of the grass. I was like, what is that? And it took me a while to see what it was. And I saw a little shell. I was like, is that a turtle? Is that a turtle Pokemon? Is that a freaking turtle Pokemon? Like, all internally.
All
so
internally.
I run up to it.
Get
yes.
Inside.
Well, because Eddie was trying to sleep.
Understandable.
I go to battle it, and then I caught it. And when I caught it, I got really freaking excited and immediately messaged Yvonne. Oh my God, I caught a turtle. It's called Choodle.
Choodle?
Yes. Choodle.
Oh my God. Doodle.
Oh, Doodle the Choodle.
Doodle the Choodle. Can
now,
you
do you
want
to change his name?
I named it. Oh, what did I name it?
Donatella, because it's a girl.
Yeah,
of
it's a girl, so I named it Donatella.
Did. That does not surprise
reasons.
Me in the slightest. Andrew is obsessed with Donatello from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Indeed.
Not that I needed to
so much
clarify
so that I have Donatello on my desk at work. And on my keychain.
Super shocked you don't have a Donatello tattoo.
That's next.
Mm.
No lie.
Well, so, turtle. Turtle popped out.
Turtles were made out of a god's back that died or was killed. I don't know. Didn't catch any mention. So this is where we get into what's now another country. The island of Haiti was actually conceived by the Taino as the body of a woman. So on this island, there were three caves. The cave in the east is where a divine serpent named...
So that one's really easy. That's one of the...
Iguana Boina?
No. So okay. It's actually misspelled. It should say Aguaibana, which that's one of the most known deities from the Taino that we actually study in school. Because, you know, once the Spaniards came in and colonized the shit out of us, most of the Taino stuff was pushed away because they were teaching all of the natives, the Tainos, Christianity.
Mm-hmm. See? Christianity.
Of course.
Sensing a trend here.
It's always at the bottom of nothing good.
I mean, relatable, but...
So yeah, Aguaibana. I haven't heard of the other two, so I'm just going to say how I think it would be pronounced.
Lived with these next two.
Bonayel and Marohu.
Bonayel and Marohu.
I'm going to say it like that. I'm just saying
you got
like
it.
Okay. I got this.
Oh, by the way, what kind of wine are you drinking?
Chardonnay. Obs.
Your fave.
It's Costco brand. Kirkland Signature. It's very classy.
I decided not tomorrow. To do the... wine route again. I am drinking another cider, but this time it is a bombshell cider, and it is their fall spice flavor, which is not pumpkin spice. It is fall spice, to be clear. If there were a pumpkin spice, I would have bought that.
I mean, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. I'm a basic white girl.
You know, also relatable.
You're a basic bitch.
Yvonne is.
What?
He loves the pumpkin spice latte.
I mean, yeah, I am. I channel my inner white girl a lot.
So back to the caves. This eastern cave, it's also where the sun rose. And
makes sense.
Well, I mean, because east.
Yeah.
You know.
That reasons, much I know.
Compass rose. So these three deities from the eastern cave provided good weather and life-giving rain. There were three other deities that were basically the complete opposite. Total troublemakers and hooligans. I'm going to try to pronounce these, and Yvonne is going to correct me if I'm absolutely horrible. Guamanances, Guatauba, and Coatrisque.
First two you pronounced right. I don't even know how to pronounce the last one.
Fair.
All I know is that the big bad, like, deity that the Tainos have was called Huracan, which literally means...
Hurricane?
Hurricane.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you said that, because these three deities were responsible for bad weather and hurricanes.
Oh, there you go.
So maybe it was a combination of the three.
Yeah. The ones, at least, that when I studied, like, a long time ago, it was called Huracan, and he was, like, the big bad of the Tainos, you know? Oh, so... The hurricane is coming. That's where the word came from.
Interesting. Yet another fun fact. I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
Today.
Oh my god.
See.
No problem.
On the island, there were two other caves that didn't give me any locations or compass rose directions. Compass rose is the north, south, east, west, for those who may not know.
Takes me back to like fifth grade.
Right. Mr. Scroggins class.
Oh my god, Mr. Scroggins. I wonder if he's still alive.
I know. Me too.
He's such a great grump. Teacher. But yeah, exactly. He was one of those teachers that was like really mean, but in like a Mr. Feeny kind of way.
Hell yeah. But one of our silent correspondents just sent some more information about the god of hurricanes.
And from the other room.
Awesome enough. It's actually what I kind of already said. Those nice. Three deities.
Yeah, Guabanex. Well, so Apparently they thought me wrong then. I've always heard that Huracán was the deity of the hurricane.
I mean, so. You did go to Catholic school, didn't you?
Well, and see,
yeah.
This just proves that Puerto Ricans are indeed Americans, because we too were taught wrong in school. So, welcome to the club.
Welcome to America.
Oh, yeah. So, now you can tell that our other informant is telling us more information.
This just in. Our other Puerto Rican correspondent said it was discovered in the last few years. Huracán was not the god of hurricanes.
How did they discover that in the past couple of years? They found some sort of historical documentation?
Or I am going with that route for sure, because, you know, as I told you, like I told everyone before, you know, a lot of that was lost because of basically the elimination of all the Taino culture.
Colonization, Christianity, the two evil C's.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that name over there, Guabanex, is the new one.
Look at my research being accurate.
Oh, you go, girl. Snaps for Andrew.
Snaps. All right. Well, I just got validated.
See, now you deserve those.
And that is why there's new history books every year.
Yeah.
That's true. You could just throw them all out.
One cave, unknown direction, whatever, said this is where the humans came out of to inhabit Earth. And the third cave is, according to my research, ruled by the god of the dead, Maquetari, Tarie, Guayaba.
Well, I know how to pronounce the last word. That's
yes.
Guayaba.
Please do. Guayaba.
Well, which is, I think it's actually a fruit.
Like guava.
Yeah, guayaba. Yeah, that is a fruit.
Guava!
How is that spelled?
Guayaba. Guayaba. Which Yvonne just confirmed is guava. The god of the dead had guava in his name.
Yeah,
so
guava
is the fruit of the dead.
The fruit of the dead. I thought it was
if
a papaya.
If you eat guava, you immediately die.
As for the humans, it definitely wasn't easy for them to exit the cave. Fishermen were turned into trees. The guardian was turned into stone. Children basically cried so much that they were turned into frogs.
Teach me that spell.
Basically, they kept getting turned into various animals and vegetation. So according to this mythology, it's basically how plants and animals came to be.
Because children wouldn't shut the hell up.
They became frogs.
I need to get this written into, like, some sort of cautionary tale for my children. So, somebody work on that.
Oh, I'll help with that. If you don't quiet down, you're going to turn into a frog. Now, that's really all I could find, so hopefully I can find more detailed information that goes more in depth and connects some of these dots that I feel are missing.
I feel like you need to go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's definitely the idea. And I'm definitely super interested in learning more about the Taino and their mythology. Maybe even some urban myths when I do finally make my way to Puerto Rico, for obvious reasons. Obs. So we may revisit the Taino. We may not. Who knows? There are other directions that we can go.
I hope we do. It's super interesting.
Who knows? Who knows how I'm feeling? I may be a little bit feisty and want to go somewhere else. Future mythologies. Ooh.
Ooh. You know those colleges where you can, like, make up your own major? You should totally propose that as a major. Future mythologies.
Yes. Maybe then I get accepted into college.
So now that we've kind of gone over, like, the Puerto Rican mythology, Yvonne, do you have some superstitions to share with us from Puerto Rico?
Some maybe some more fun facts.
Yeah,
more fun
I facts. Do have some. Okay. So let's start with something like not so scary, I would say.
Oh, go scary.
All right, easy.
So
into it.
Let's see. Like, there's a very, like, well-known superstition that is called La Primera Lluvia de Mayo. Basically, it means that the first rain, like the first time it rains in May, you basically just gotta, like, go out and get drenched in all that rain, and it supposedly brings you good luck for the rest of the year.
I'm down for
it. And many people do it.
We should totally do that. That should be a thing everywhere.
I love the rain, and I love going out into the rain, especially here in Arizona when it does rain in the wintertime, the winter months, I mean. Mm. And I just step outside, and I'm like, oh, rain.
Yeah, that must be nice.
Actually, the first time that me and Eddie moved down here, when it rained the first time in May, we both went outside to get wet.
Aw, that's amazing.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. A very popular one is La Llorona.
Oh,
there's a
of
movie
course.
About that.
That was,
of course.
You didn't even let me say it. I was just gonna say it.
Come on,
I'm sorry. You
Andrew.
Say it. You go ahead.
No, it's okay. You have all the info.
No, you first. No, I just know it's a movie. Please educate me.
So yeah, it's basically I'm just gonna say that it originated in Puerto Rico because I'm that proud.
I
have heard it in like other like Latin countries and especially in the Caribbean. I've heard it a lot. You know, the tale of La Llorona. At least the one that I've heard is just that, you know, it was this woman who was gonna get married, and I think like her husband stood her up or something, and then like she jumped off a bridge and she died. So every time you would like cross that bridge or get near that bridge, you would see that phantasm of the woman who died, and everyone called her La Llorona because you would hear like crying. And apparently it got so popular that, you know, like Andrew said, they made that movie about it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
Have you?
I'm just gonna say
I have not. I do want to see it though.
I do.
I do.
It's one of those like more well-known urban legends, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why so many countries adopted it as their own. But I definitely did know that it originated in Puerto Rico.
All right, and I have some more if you guys want me to just say now or say for a little bit later.
Bring it on.
Good. Tell us.
Kill us with your legends.
So this was something that my grandma used to say. So my grandma's Puerto Rican, so I'm just going to say it's Puerto Rican superstition. So she would say that whenever you would hear a rooster crow around midnight and it was near or around your house, you would have to try to find the spot where you would hear that rooster crowing. Is it crowing or crying?
Crowing. Crying.
Crying.
Crying. Rooster
crow, yeah, a rooster crows.
Yes.
A rooster crows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that. and apparently there would be some sort of treasure or like some sort of like monetary value that was buried under that spot. And she would tell me that one of her like cousins actually found something buried in his backyard.
What?
Because
a rooster crowed, yeah.
On that spot.
Well, he really believed that superstition, so he was just like going around his backyard just trying to find something.
What?
And
luck.
He actually just found I think he found like some sort of like oldish artifact, I would say, would be a work. And I know he sold it, so
okay.
I would say that's monetary value.
To quote the great Trixie Mattel, a fake can lay you toe it, he can lay you through it.
What?
If the Lord can lead you through it, he can lead you through it.
So there's this drag queen who is on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I don't know what season, but she was also on All Stars 3 and 1. But her and another drag queen that was on Drag Race, Katya, have this show called on YouTube.
How do you spell
that? UNNNNHH.
Wow.
It's so fun. So fun to watch. Highly recommend. This can be edited out if you want. I don't care.
No, I like it. My freaking husband just tried to tell me McDonald's was closed. It's open 24 hours. Come on, everybody knows that.
Not the ones by
I sent him a screenshot. I Googled the one by our house and sent him a screenshot where it says open 24 hours.
And you're like, don't play.
And I'm like, get me my goddamn fries. They don't do the hot and spicy
nuggets.
McChicken up here. It's just a plain one, and that's really disappointing to me.
Oh. They have the hot and spicy down here because we're hot and spicy.
McDouble. Okay. Any more fun facts?
fun facts, superstitions?
Yeah, I could do one more.
Yes!
Yes!
All right. So, more to the area of San Juan, Puerto Rico. There's a lot of, like, old castles there from when the Spaniards colonized. You know, they built a lot of castles around the coast to protect about invaders and all that. The biggest one that most people visit is called El Morro. I don't know if either of you have heard about it.
You should just repeat that again real slowly so yes, everybody please. Knows. Yeah.
Okay. It's called El Morro.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's called. I think it actually has a fuller name.
Satisfied.
Let me just Google it real quick because I can't remember. Because I know that there's one called Castillo. Yeah. Here, yeah, Eddie just helped me with that.
See, like, hiding so the behind full the name door, is... texting you guys.
No, he can hear us because he's in the room, you know, that our closet is attached to. And because he wants to be of help, he is sending us information as we go. And
we love you, Eddie.
We definitely love you so much.
So do you want to try to pronounce it or should I?
San Felipe de Morro. Morro. Yeah, that's Morro. It. That's all I got.
That was horrible.
Because I'm white. And I can't roll my R's worth shit.
All right, now that we do have the full name, it's El Castillo San Felipe del Morro,
yes,
which
please.
Basically means El Morro Castle. Castillo means castle. There's another one called Castillo San Cristobal, I think. But a lot of... There's a superstition that... how do you say garita in English?
What's it referring to?
Okay, so basically it's like a watchtower.
Like a lighthouse?
No. So the castles had like watchtowers on each like point, like on each of the corners.
Okay.
So someone would actually like stand guard there and make sure that they weren't getting attacked. There were no ships coming in close. And there's one of those watchtowers or watchposts. That is called La Garita del Diablo, which basically means the devil's post or the devil's watch post. And the rumor goes that people who were posted on that watchtower plain old disappear, like, from one second to another, and nobody knew where they went, so they started calling it La Garita del Diablo.
Guys, I just have to say, Yvonne is just too freaking adorable right now.
I'm loving this.
I try.
That's amazing. Now I feel like a third wheel. Get out of here. So what else do you have for us?
Any, like, fun facts?
Like, what else do you want to know?
Because
I basically just went down the superstitious, like,
rabbit hole.
No, mythology. I like that. Yeah. That was definitely what I was going for.
Oh, this just in. Eddie did just send a little message. He said, my mom used to say, if you hear a turtle dove during a rainstorm, someone close to you will die. Also, a black moth or butterfly with an M pattern, that's M as in Mary, pattern on the wings, was an omen of death.
All moths are an omen of death. They should all die themselves. I hate moths.
I mean, butterflies are worse, so.
Butterflies at least are aesthetically pleasing, and butterflies don't. Me PTSD.
But moths...
Aesthetically pleasing, but yet eats flesh.
Moths can be really cute. There's some really, fluffy ones, like pink color and, like, yellow colors.
Okay, but have you heard of, like, Miller moths? Because Miller moths are the devil. And there was one time where I had to go into a shed that had a bunch of clothes in it and I had to go get the clothes out. And we were having a Miller moth invasion. And I ended up, like, completely engulfed in a cloud of, like, 10,000 Miller moths. And now I have PTSD.
Oh my god.
Eddie also added that his mom blamed the death of his great-grandmother on a moth that she found a few hours before the death.
I believe it. Fucking moth.
Right?
I get it. I get Puerto Rico. I just get it.
I can't wait to go there.
Physically.
I should just tag along on your excursion. I don't eat. You don't need to entertain me. I'll just fly there with you and then go to a bunch of restaurants.
Sounds good.
There's so many good restaurants.
I'm sure there are.
You will get there at like one weight and you'll leave like at least 20 pounds more.
Oh, I plan on it.
I mean, Katie's fucking adorable, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we are like soulmates, but yeah. That's the problem with Andrew and I. Andrew and I, it's a tragic love story. We are soulmates, but alas, we cannot be together because Andrew is gay and I am not, which wouldn't matter anyway because Andrew's gay.
Basically, I'm gay and she has a vagina.
I failed to provide for him in the way that he needed.
So we're just
soulmates.
Our souls are married, but our bodies are not.
It's true. That sounds Mormon for some reason. Sorry to any Mormon listeners. I don't mean to like alienate you.
We're actually not against any religion. It's
No. It's just all in fun. We're just assholes.
Yeah. Well, I am very interested to hear, especially after the telling of Eddie's great grandmother dying after a moth with an M formation on its person or insect in, yeah, whatever, on its body. I'm interested to know what kind of death counts you have for us today.
I actually have a very low death count today of one. It's more because it was really hard to research murder in Puerto Rico because there's a lot of murder in Puerto Rico.
Yes, there is.
And so there's not a lot of like personal murders. It's really weird. It's all like hate crime, police brutality, like just big things. And so I found a case that was involving somebody who was famous in Puerto Rico because I felt like that was a little more fun than talking about, you know, a bunch of hate crimes.
Police brutality.
And stuff. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we should all be educating ourselves on that, but nobody wants to hear that right now. So
it's a
so
sensitive
I don't
subject.
Know. Yes, exactly. I don't know, Yvonne, if you've heard of Lidia Echevarria.
Lidia Echevarria.
She's much better at saying things than I am.
I talk a lot.
Like you, no, you pronounced that name. Like you said the name and then Yvonne said the name exactly how you said it.
Well, good. So, I'm glad I did that right then. Thank you. Okay, since I've only gotten as far as the name of the woman. So Lidia Echevarria, she was born October 14th, 1931, exactly 60 years to the day before me. And I'm really sad that Eddie didn't come and record with us today because October 14th is also Eddie's birthday. And yes, we're soul sisters. So I must be connected to this woman somehow. So she is a well-known Puerto Rican actress. She's known for doing telenovelas such as Vivir Para Ti, which means live for you, I think.
Vivir Para Ti?
Vivir yeah. Para Ti, yes.
Oh, there we go, yeah. Vivir yes. Para Ti.
And then Yo Sé Que Mentía, which means I know he was lying, which gave me a giggle. Because it just sounds
reminded
like a telenovela.
Reminded me of that telenovela episode.
You're talking about telenovelas. It reminded him of the telenovela episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, that sounds like something I want to watch. That sounds incredible.
It's okay to laugh, puppy.
I became obsessed with telenovelas through Jane the Virgin because it's like kind of a telenovela within a telenovela, but it's mostly in English, but a lot of Spanish too. I love it. I love how over the top it is. It's amazing. Okay, so she was in telenovelas in 1982. More recently, she's been in movies such as The Caller, which I've never heard of. That was in 2011, and she played Old Woman, so pretty big role, if you ask me. And
I mean, I play it.
But it's a bigger role than I've ever had in a movie, so... She was also in a movie called Dark Power in 2013, which sounded really good, but it got a 3.4 out of 10 stars on IMDb, so it probably was not good at all. If you notice, there's kind of like a huge gap in her career. There was like 1982 and then like 2011, which is her next little acting gig.
It's hard to stay relevant.
Yeah, well, it is when you're incapacitated.
Oh.
Taking it back to the beginning, Lydia met a man named Luis Vigoro, which I don't think is Spanish. It looks French to me.
That's, oh, yeah, definitely French.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Definitely,
yeah,
French.
Yeah.
Vigoro.
Vigoro.
Vigoro. Vigoro, Vigoro, Vigoro.
It's funny, though. Vigoro is actually kind of common as a last name in Puerto Rico.
Oh. So a French influence,
even though it's
as well.
A French name.
It's still, he was
oh,
still
I'm
Puerto
sure
Rican.
There
right?
were like French colonizers as well.
You're Puerto Rican with a French name. I like it.
We're getting real diverse up in here.
We're getting cultured.
Cultured. Hashtag cultured. But not like milk. Lydia met a man named Luis Vigoro in 1960 while working on a show Vigoro was producing called La Hora Cero, which means 0 hour. And it took exactly 0 horas for them to fall in love.
That was good.
By February 10th, 1960, the two were married. Don't marry your coworkers. And Lydia joined her new hubs in co-hosting TV shows in the 60s and 70s, such as Pariba, Papi Pariba, which I could not find. I mean, I know what papi means, but I could not find a translation for the word pariba.
So pariba basically means like to go up. So she's basically just saying
go up puppy, go up,
go up,
go
puppy,
up daddy, go up,
arriba. Oh,
that's so weird. Yeah. Because she was on another show called Sube Nene Sube, which I did translate to go up baby, go up, which that's
yeah,
the opposite of what you should be saying, right? I don't know.
Go up daddy.
No, go down. What
yeah,
are you
I mean
about?
We do say nene like a
maybe
endearing.
Okay. Yeah. So Katie just saw my face after I said go up daddy go up, because I personally cannot stand when people call other people daddy unless it's a child to their father.
That is gross.
So because I don't like it, but I can accept poppy, Eddie and Yvonne call me poppy.
I do like poppy.
I like poppy better.
I like poppy.
Poppy.
So wow, I have a lot of story ahead of us. Andrew, comment.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
Okay, so.
It's the wine, I promise.
So soon, Lydia and Luis became one of Puerto Rico's most famous couples, and the two went on to have daughters together, Vanessa and Glendalee, which is a very odd name, but I kind of like it. Unfortunately, Luis, like any famed man, decided he was unsatisfied with his now outdated wife and began an affair in 1982 with model Nydia Castillo. And I thought it was really lazy of him to go from his wife Lydia to his girlfriend Nydia. So it's unclear exactly how long this affair went on. And at first, it kind of seemed like Lydia, the wife, didn't know about it. On January 17th, 1983, Vigoro was allegedly kidnapped by some thugs and driven to an unknown remote area somewhere near the outskirts of San Juan. He was stabbed multiple times with an ice pick and bludgeoned with a tire iron. And unfortunately, he was still alive at this point, but he was stuffed back into the trunk of his own Mercedes, and then the car was doused with gasoline and lit ablaze. So he was burned alive.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Super overkill. Not okay.
So it was extra death.
Super extra and kind of a
dick move. Adios mio.
Adios mio. Muy caliente. What's the Spanish word for car?
Carro.
Carro.
You know what? Carro. Leave me alone. I can't roll my damn R's.
Leave me solo. Luis was obviously found dead in his car. Because, you know, he burned to death. And it's super unclear in the articles, but like how, but they were able to locate the murderers pretty much immediately. And the quote unquote thugs who had kidnapped and murdered Luis were a drug addict named David Lopez Watts and a well-known male model named Francisco Papo Newman. Not Poppy, Papo.
What's Papo?
I think it's just a nickname.
Okay.
I don't know. Is there a meaning? I don't
can't
know.
Relate.
They told police that they were hired by Lydia Echeverria, who paid them $2,500 to kill her husband. You've got to have not a lot going on if you're willing to kill someone for $2,500.
I mean,
that's cheap.
When was this? Like
1982.
I mean, wasn't that like a lot at that time?
I guess, yeah, it is a lot maybe more back then. But still not a lot, like putting your life on the line prison-wise.
Maybe $1 million.
That's true. That's true. She, Lydia, not only knew about the affair with Nydia, but Luis Figueroa had filed for divorce so he could marry his sweet, sweet love. The day that he was murdered was the day that the divorce decree was supposed to be finalized. So, super coincidental.
Hello, life insurance.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, Lydia and Luis were Puerto Rico sweetheart couple. And because of that, her trial became a sensation, kind of like the O.J. Simpson trial of Puerto Rico, if you will. And no white glove involved, though. finally, on April 14th, 1985, Eddie and my half-birthday, by the way, just saying, Lydia Echeverria was sentenced to 208 years in prison for the kidnapping and murder of her husband and began serving her time at Vega Alta Women's Jail.
Jesus.
208 years, yeah. They went extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So Echeverria served 13 and a half years in jail when she fell ill and her health began to deteriorate. Because of her connections in the outside world with the wealthy and the influential, she had a pretty large amount of people campaigning for her release where she could live the rest of her life at peace in her home.
Her lice.
Lice. She was tired of the prison life. Lice. Damn it. Of course I don't fuck up when I try to fuck up.
She was tired of that prison lice. She needed her own lice.
So the Puerto Rico Senate voted 21-0 in favor of her release, which is insane. And on January 27th, 2000, Lydia was released from jail and she is basically free, but she has an 8 p.m. court-ordered curfew every night. So she just lives at home and has to be home by 8 o'clock every day. She can go wherever. She's living my life, my best life. Like, I don't have to make any plans after 8 o'clock because, like, I'll get arrested. That's a pretty legit reason.
Unless you start throwing like house parties after 8.
That's a really good idea. Just everybody come to my place. I have to be home, but they never said nobody could come with me.
I have a curfew, but you can come with.
Exactly. BYOB. I think she's got a lot going on. That's pretty good. So Echeverria returned to the stage in 2001, 1 year after her release. So she must have been super ill, obviously, because she was able to be back on stage a year later. she started a production called The Convicts, a play about a woman named Maggie who is serving a 99-year prison sentence for the murder of her husband. Irony. And people were like absolutely baffled by this. They were calling into like radio shows and there were like really angry newspaper headlines. It was just super ironic that she was playing this role. And like the best part is it was not the first time she had played this role. She was actually doing a reprisal of a role she played 20 years before she was even guilty of murdering her husband. So she got this idea. I don't know if it was like a method acting thing. So everybody showed up for the play, all the rich and the famous showing up for their friend, the murderer. And the play is very much like a telenovela, very soapy, twists and turns and like evil twins. I don't know if that's true.
Super dramatic.
But the theme of the play is that Puerto Rico has two very different standards of justice, one being that the rich and the famous and the well-connected, and there's a totally different standard of justice for everybody else. So everybody else gets the short end of the stick, which super sucks. Her release was extremely controversial. She was released, or her release was signed off by Governor Pedro Rosello. He said he had released her for humanitarian reasons, but he didn't see her as a further threat to society. And this was controversial because he had made a public vow years before that he would never grant clemency to anyone responsible for a violent crime. Then he granted this, like, psycho clemency.
Just because
she was rich.
Pedro Rosello has a lot of like bad things said about him.
Rosello.
So I wouldn't be surprised that he did that.
gotta correct me on my pronunciation, man.
Rosello.
Rosello. Okay.
God, I hate you both.
Because you can't roll your R's. You have not listened to enough Jason Mraz.
But I have been working on it, and I'm way... believe it or not, I'm still way better than I was when I first started trying.
Practice is perfect.
I'll be sitting at my desk at work, like, silently trying to roll my R's. It's fun.
People are like, what the hell are you doing? He's purring over there. What's going on?
Attempting to purr. I'm a failed cat.
After the play, Lydia was being interviewed by this reporter, and she was like, hey, so it's only been a year since you were released because of your bad health. Like, how you feeling? And apparently Lydia was like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, I have a bit of knee pain. I'm good. Apparently she's that good of an actress that she convinced an entire Senate to release her. And then she was just fine. When the reporter asked her about the death of her husband, she got mad and stormed off. She still claims she has nothing to do with it and shows zero remorse, obviously.
I mean.
After she made this miraculous recovery from her life-threatening illnesses, she applied to have her curfew extended from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Bitch had some partying to do. But it was denied. It was denied. They did not. But there was a telephone survey. I read about this. I guess this is a thing in Puerto Rico after major murder trials. They do like telephone surveys. And I don't know. 46% of the respondents loved Echeverria and thought that the board's decision to deny her curfew extension was not constitutional. It's like, she's a murderer.
What?
Like... I don't
Have you heard of this phone survey thing after murder trials?
No, I don't. I think I'm way too young for.
Yeah, definitely.
To remember that.
And this was still, I don't know. This was in 2001. That seems weird. You still were really young.
I would have been.
I mean, I was 12.
Would have been like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not thinking about any of that.
Yeah. I was
just playing with Pokemon cards.
Yeah. So I thought it was really interesting. In my research, I also found out that her daughter, Glendalee, died by suicide in 2008. And this was like unrelated to the murder case. But Lydia Echeverria, I found this on what appears to be a Puerto Rican like tabloid site. So I don't know how true this is. But apparently she's trying to hire a lawyer because she thinks her husband, her daughter's husband, murdered her because he took out a life insurance policy on her like 2 months prior, and like he was signed on as the beneficiary. So it seems pretty sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And this suicide happened in Arizona, and she believes that the fact that they're looking over this and just deciding that it's suicide instead of looking into it as a murder case is because Arizona has a lot of racism toward Hispanics, and so they don't really care about exerting any effort.
Yeah.
That super sucks, too, and we should be ashamed of that.
Which is funny because the majority of Arizona is Hispanic.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sure your economy relies on the Hispanic community, so you should not be racist toward them.
Agreed. I mean, personally, I feel that it has... Because when I first moved down here, like, I did notice that there was a lot of, like, animosity towards Hispanic people. But in the last 3 years that I've been here, I have noticed that there has been some significant change.
That's
good.
It's
still, like, uncomfortable to see how people react to Hispanic people or Latin American people, like, speaking Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let them have their conversation. Oh, some of them don't understand what you're saying, and they don't care. Like, come on.
Because it's a private conversation. It shouldn't matter whether or not you understand it. You're not a part of that conversation.
Exactly. Get over yourself.
Mm-hmm. A, B conversation, see your way out.
And it's so funny because it's like, we hear a lot of people say things like, oh, you know, they need to learn English. They do know English. They know enough English to have a decent conversation, and that's okay. Learn enough Spanish to have a decent conversation.
We need to be learning
any language,
foreign
really.
Languages, yeah, should be introduced in the very, very early years of childhood education. It shouldn't be like, oh, here's a year of it in high school. Like, it should be introduced early and done throughout their educational journey.
I mean, that's what basically what we do in Puerto Rico.
With English.
Because
well,
that's
what the Europeans do, too.
English at, like, kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are a step ahead of us. I don't know what the hell people have to complain. That's why they're complaining, is because they're fucking jealous that they're stupid.
They wish they were bilingual and they're not. And they
don't exactly. Like, you're just mad that you only know one language and you're not cool enough to know two. That is our episode for this week. Yvonne, thank you for joining us. I'm really excited.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. This week, it's a little different. Instead of drawing one country, we're going to have to draw two countries because we are recording two episodes next week.
Yes. We are doing Dominican Republic.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Oh, my gosh. That there's a Dominican one. Restaurant near my work. I can, like, do research by eating the food.
Yes.
And it's very close to Puerto Rico, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dominican Republic. Screenshot that.
I feel like it's going to be another struggle to find a murder case because there's probably a lot of murder there, too.
Hey, at least you'll have your pick.
It's true.
I mean, I think it happens a lot, like in like what happens in Puerto Rico, because we do have a lot of murders, but it's mostly like, you know, like drug and police related, because
exactly.
There's a big drug problem in the island. So that's why there's not like these like, you know, oh, like active shooter here or there. It's mostly hits.
Anyways, what's our second country?
Drum roll, please.
Oh my God, do we even need one?
Sure.
Sounded more like a helicopter.
Ghana. We're going to go to Ghana.
Didn't you reject Ghana in like the first episode?
So I did reject Ghana the first episode because I didn't know how interesting it was going to be. And then out of curiosity, I did look into it. And I was like, man, I really hope we do go to Ghana because I am dying to talk about Ghana mythology.
All right. Well, then Ghana it is. I'm sure I will find murder no matter what country it is.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we will see you next Thursday. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Murder Mystery, theme song by Luella Gren, logo by Lexi Wilson. New episodes air every Sunday on Apple, Google, Spotify, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. This podcast is currently entirely self-funded, so in order to keep it going, we really rely on word of mouth. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe, rate, review, and of course, tell your friends. If you have questions, corrections, or location and story suggestions, you can email us at murdermysterypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @murdermystery. And don't forget to join us again next week.